Okay, so we're diving into something pretty interesting today, the People v. Lee case out of Colorado. And, it really brings up this whole question of like equal protection under the law.
Definitely. And specifically when you have the same action that could be charged under multiple criminal statutes with different penalties. So it gets kind of tricky.
Yeah, like, is it fair to punish the exact same act in two different ways, It's a bit of a legal puzzle. And, this case is perfect for kind of getting a handle on how state courts interpret these big legal concepts. Sometimes they reach different conclusions than federal courts. It's fascinating.
Absolutely. So our goal today is to figure out, why the Colorado Supreme Court decided what they did, what were their main arguments, and then the big one, how might this decision affect similar cases in the future?
Exactly. We're going to break it all down. So to start off, can you give us a little rundown of the facts of the case? What actually happened here?
Well, it all starts with Dearies Lee. He was accused of strangling his ex-girlfriend, and not just once, but on two separate occasions.
Wow. Okay. So right away, we can see this is serious stuff.
Definitely serious. And that's reflected in the initial charges. The prosecutors in Colorado first charged Lee under a specific part of their second-degree assault statute, the section dealing with strangulation. That's Section 18.3.203.1 FLAW, if you want to look it up.
Okay, so that seems pretty straightforward. They charged him with strangulation under the strangulation law, but it sounds like there's more to it.
Yeah, so about 8 months later, they added more charges. This time, it was under a different part of the same assault statute, Section 18.3.203.1b. This section deals with assault with a deadly weapon.
Hold on. So are you saying they were saying his hands were a deadly weapon?
Exactly. That was their argument. They claimed that because he used his hands to strangle her, that qualified them as deadly weapons for the purpose of those additional charges.
I see. So now we're getting to the heart of the legal issue. If they can charge him under two different parts of the same law for the same act of strangulation, doesn't that raise some red flags about equal protection?
You got it. That's the core question the Colorado Supreme Court had to wrestle with. And remember, both the trial court and the appeals court sided with Lee. They said, yes, this does seem like an equal protection violation. That's why it ended up going all the way to the state Supreme Court.
So let me get this straight. The big question is, did charging Lee under both the strangulation section AA, the deadly weapons section, for the same acts of strangulation violate Colorado's equal protection principles? That's what we're trying to unpack, right?
Precisely. And to really understand this, we have to remember that while state constitutions often mirror the federal constitution, they can also offer different or even stronger protections.
So a state can go above and beyond the federal protections.
That's right. In this case, the Colorado Supreme Court majority took a firm stance. They said yes, charging Lee under both sections for the same conduct did violate their state's equal protection guarantees.
Wow. Okay. So how did they get there? What was their reasoning behind that decision?
Well, their reasoning really hinges on this idea that when we talk about strangulation, it inherently involves the use of a deadly weapon. They argue that you can't strangle someone without using something that's capable of causing serious injury or death.
So in this case, they're saying his hands automatically qualify as a deadly weapon just by the nature of the act.
Exactly. And to reach that conclusion, they used a specific two-part test. First, they asked, was the object, in this case, the hands used as a weapon? And second, was that object capable of causing death or serious injury in the way it was used?
So it's not just about the object itself, it's about how it's used.
Right. The context is really important. And in the majority's view, strangulation by its very nature, because it restricts breathing and blood flow, automatically meets both parts of the test.
That makes sense. I mean, cutting off someone's airway or blood supply is obviously super dangerous. But didn't you say there was a dissenting opinion in this case? Did they agree with this interpretation?
Not quite. The dissenting justices, Justice Samore, Justice Coates, and Justice Boatwright, they weren't convinced by the majority's logic.
Okay, so what were their main points of disagreement? Why did they think this wasn't a violation of equal protection?
Well, one of their big concerns was that Colorado's approach in this case was different from what's generally accepted in federal law. Specifically, they pointed to a case called U.S. v. Batchelder, which allows prosecutors more flexibility when choosing between overlapping statutes. They argued that Colorado was going against the grain here.
Interesting. So the dissent felt like Colorado was kind of out on a limb with this interpretation.
Yeah, they emphasized that most other jurisdictions don't interpret equal protection this way. They were worried about setting a precedent that deviated too much from the norm.
Gotcha. So what else did they disagree with?
Their other main argument was that not all strangulation is created equal. They felt that the majority was painting with too broad a brush.
What do you mean by that?
Well, they argued that some instances of strangulation might not involve a deadly weapon. They gave an example of someone like briefly squeezing someone's neck without really hurting them.
Ah, okay. So they're saying there are degrees of severity and some might not rise to the level of using a deadly weapon.
Exactly. In their view, the two subsections of the assault statute were meant to cover different situations. The deadly weapon subsection would be for more serious cases where there's clear intent to cause harm with a dangerous object. And they didn't think the legislature intended for every single act of strangulation to fall under that category.
Okay, so we've got these two different interpretations of the law on the table. What does this actually mean for prosecutors in Colorado? How does this ruling change how they handle these types of cases moving forward?
Well, the practical impact is pretty significant.
Right.
From now on, if a case involves strangulation, Colorado prosecutors can only charge under the specific strangulation subsection of the assault statute. They can't also charge under the broader deadly weapon subsection for the same act.
So they have to be more specific in their charges.
Right. They can't kind of double dip anymore. And the court actually pointed to the history of the strangulation statute to back up this decision.
What do you mean?
Well, he pointed out that the strangulation subsection was added to the law fairly recently, back in 2016. And they argued that the legislature's intent was to streamline prosecutions for strangulation cases and remove the need to prove the whole deadly weapon element. They basically wanted to create a clearer legal path for these cases.
That makes sense. So the court is saying the legislature intentionally made a separate law for strangulation cases, so prosecutors should use that law instead of trying to shoehorn it into the deadly weapon statute.
Precisely. They felt that using the more specific statute would lead to fairer and more consistent outcomes across the board, especially in domestic violence cases where strangulation is sadly common.
Okay, so let's step back for a second and look at the bigger picture. What are the key takeaways from this People v. Lee case? Why is it important for anyone interested in law to understand this decision?
I think the biggest takeaway is that each state has the power to interpret fundamental legal principles like equal protection in their own way. And that can lead to variations in how laws are applied across the country.
Right. So even though there's this federal baseline, each state can kind of tailor those principles to fit their own specific circumstances.
Exactly. And Colorado has chosen to take a stricter approach than many other states when it comes to equal protection and sentencing. They're prioritizing the idea that if two people commit the same basic act, they should face the same potential punishments, regardless of how many different ways that act could be charged under the law.
I see. So it's about ensuring a certain level of fairness and consistency in the legal system.
That's a big part of it. And this case also highlights the ongoing tension between giving prosecutors discretion to choose charges and making sure the law is applied equally to everyone. It's a delicate balancing act.
Definitely. So to wrap this up, what are some of the key things you think our listeners should take away from this case?
Well, first, I think it's a great example of statutory interpretation in action. You see the court really digging into the language and purpose of different parts of the law and trying to figure out how they fit together. And it's also a good reminder that laws are constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the legislature passes new laws, the courts interpret those laws, and it's all part of this dynamic process.
It's like this ongoing conversation between different branches of government.
Right, exactly. And I think this case also brings up some important questions about how we define things like deadly weapon. The majority in dissent had very different perspectives on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you think about where we draw the line between something that's inherently dangerous and something that only becomes dangerous depending on how it's used.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. So for you listening out there, this deep dive into People v. Lee really shows that even these big fundamental legal concepts can be tricky to apply in real life. And Colorado has decided to chart its own course here, prioritizing a specific kind of fairness when the same action could be charged under multiple laws with different punishments.
Yeah.
You see this debate play out between the majority and the dissent, and it raises some really important questions about prosecutorial discretion and how we ensure equal treatment under the law. This case is just one example of the complexity and nuance that you encounter when you really start to peel back the layers of the legal system. But hopefully this deep dive has given you a better understanding of this particular corner of the law.
I think that's a great summary. It really highlights the thought-provoking questions raised by this case. And it shows that legal interpretation is a dynamic process with real-world consequences for how justice is carried out.
Absolutely. And you know what? This case also leaves us with a bigger question to think about. How much power should prosecutors have when deciding what charges to bring? And how do we balance that power with the need to make sure everyone is treated fairly and equally under the law? It's something to ponder.
Definitely. It's a question that goes beyond this one case and touches on some fundamental aspects of our legal system.
Well said. So thanks for joining me on this deep dive. It's always great to unpack these complex legal issues with you.
My pleasure. Always happy to explore the intricacies of the law.
And to everyone listening, keep those legal minds sharp, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.
See you then.